Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Associate Pastor Kyler Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This week, we're in the book of 1 John as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Associate Pastor Kyler Lanier taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
Be turning to the book of 1 John this morning. We're going to go through 1 John this morning. We'll just see how far we get. I was working on something else, actually, different material for today, and last night just ended up changing it. Maybe the Lord knew that I needed this, or someone in here needed it. But whoever's in here that needs the lesson today, thanks for ruining a weekend of hard work on my other lesson. No, we'll postpone it, do it another time. But I just want to look at the epistle, 1 John. We know John very well as being associated with that disciple whom Jesus loved. We often call him that disciple of love, one of those well-known attributes that he writes about and demonstrated. And it's very interesting that early on in the ministry, when he and his brother James were called to follow Christ, you know, he gave them the nickname that Sons of Thunder. And we found that some of the things that they would ask about or suggest, or some of the ideas they kind of had in the ministry, were very bold sometimes. And you could kind of see that thought of them being the Sons of Thunder coming into play. Well, I'm not sure what all took place transforming over the life of John. We know he demonstrated those attributes of love throughout his ministry, but especially as he aged, that characteristic of that love and the importance of it in his life and demonstrating that to others really came forth and being shown in his writings and just in his life. We know that his brother James had been martyred, so I don't know how much that played into it for his perspective of things, but this epistle that he writes here is probably around 20 years or so after the martyr of his brother James. And he's writing here, the church is just on the threshold of going to be entering into persecution like they've never experienced and that they would never expect. They couldn't anticipate. And then in the next few years following these writings is when we'll find many, many of the disciples martyred, put to death for their faith, and Christians of all kind are sought after by the Roman government for death and persecution. And it's very interesting that what the Lord gives to John to write to all these believers is on this issue real heavily of love, and especially on our relationship with Jesus Christ. And it encompasses all levels of spiritual walks, from newborn babes in Christ to what he would call the fathers, the elders, those that have lived a life knowing the goodness and the faithfulness of God. And so I would just look, starting in chapter 1, verse number 1. He simply opens up, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life." Right here at the very beginning of the epistle, John is sure to make clear the eternal nature of Jesus Christ. He says that which was from the beginning. Not only that, but he then in the same verse talks about his physical manifestation. He says, which we have heard, which we've seen with our eyes, we've looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. So just opening up this epistle to set the stage, he talks about Jesus' eternal being. He talks about his physical manifestation coming down to us. Speaks of his ministry, and he speaks of that position that Jesus Christ holds. He calls him the Word of life. And we find that in the book of John, he opens it up, talking about the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So in verse number 2, he says, "For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us." And this, in verse 3, we'll find that he is a witness of simply what they know. Simply what they've seen and what's been shown to them, what they have experienced. And what's true for them ought to be true for you and I today. The things that we know in Christ Jesus, that he's made known unto us, those are the things that we ought to be a witness about to those around us. What has Christ made known in your life? Well, I hope he's made that gift of salvation known. I hope that you've bared witness to the changing grace of our Lord and Savior and the difference he makes in your life. I hope that it didn't stop there, but he's continued to open doors of opportunity that you followed him in. And all these things, this is what he says, "We bear witness and we show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and manifested unto us." Again, giving us a glimpse into that relationship of the Godhead of the Trinity between God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. "That which," in verse 3, "which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you." Quite simply, those things that we've seen and heard, nothing else. He didn't have to add anything to it. He didn't have to dress it up to try to get the world to accept it. And he didn't have to dumb it down so that everyone would understand it. He just simply says, the things we've seen and the things we heard, we're telling you. Exactly as it is, the way it happened. "That ye also may have fellowship with us." There's a requirement here for fellowship that he outlines. He says, "We declare these things unto you that you might have fellowship with us." And I've got a note in my Bible here that I've got that "with us" underlined and noted that the requirement is for fellowship with us, not us with them. There's a difference there. He doesn't say, "We declare these things unto you that we might have fellowship with you." He says that you might have fellowship with us. Why does that matter? Why is that important? Well, he tells us right there in the next half of the verse when he says, "And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." It's one thing to have a fellowship of the brethren or of a group of people come together and to be in like mind and unison and be able to agree on things and get things done. That's one kind of fellowship, but it's an entirely different fellowship when the fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them." It's important for us to grasp the reality of the situation when we meet together in times that are designated for the worship of our Lord and Savior. This is more than just a fellowship among us. We literally enter in here to have fellowship one with another, but with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. That's the heart of our fellowship. Church is more than just a social club. It's more than just a place where saints that are like-minded can come together and accomplish goals or improve the community. The fellowship that we have ought to be centered around Christ. And that's what he says the requirement here is. You have to know these things in particular so that we can have that fellowship together, because our fellowship is with God the Father and his Son Jesus Christ. We could skip these things and we could all just get along the best we could and go on our happy, merry little ways. But without these truths, you'll miss the fellowship of Christ, that fellowship that really matters. And so that's what he says in verse number 4, "These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." That your joy may be full.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Associate Pastor Kyler Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious Word. And visit us online at westwoodmbc.org to hear more teachings like this. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.